Well, we've been going through this sermon series called The Answer for Life. And the answer for life is not something that we'll find in this world, but it's actually found in Jesus himself. So many people try to find happiness and satisfaction by trying to live a good life or an exciting life, but Christianity is different. We find life and meaning and truth in Jesus himself. Last week, we saw Paul questioning the Galatians, saying, "You were in slavery, and then you were set free. So why are you going back into slavery?" And Jesus Christ came and redeemed you and made you a son and an heir of God, through God. Paul explained things in a very rational way. But in today's passage, what we're going to see is a more personal approach. And so we come to our passage today. And so why don't we turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 to 20. Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 to 20. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 974. Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 to 20. This is the reading of God's word. "Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you." Paul says in our passage today, "What has become of your blessedness?" Now, during this Chinese New Year time, we talk about blessings and we say blessings to each other. And I want to ask you, do you want to be blessed? I'm sure many of us, our answer would be yes. It's not a trick question. It's okay to say yes. Do you want to be blessed? If yes, then seek to bless others. This is a way to be blessed. And one of the ways to bless others is to point people to the truth. And yes, sometimes it might offend people, but to be blessed and to be set free, you must speak truth in Christ. You know, I saw an article recently, and this article comes up every once in a while. It comes up again and again. And the article talks about how you can be successful as a business person, and you just need to learn one word. What is that word? The word is no, learning to say no. And when we think about this idea of being a blessing to other people, sometimes it's important for us to say no to them. It's important for us to say, "No, you are wrong. That's not good. That's not correct." And so the main idea for today is this: to be set free, speak truth in Christ. Speak truth in Christ. And the three points that we'll go through are: number one, for me to be set free, ? Number two, for you to be set free. And number three, until Christ is formed. Now let's talk about the first point. For me to be set free. It's a question mark, because we're talking about the motivation. Why would I want to point out something wrong about another person or point out their sin? And what are the motivations that I think about? Well, I may feel the need to point something out, but I may choose not to because I'm thinking perhaps about my own freedom. Let's talk about what that means. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 12, the beginning of our verse today, it says, "Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong." So in our passage today, and in the past sermons, we've been seeing how Paul has been rebuking the Galatians, how Paul has been pointing out their wrong and how they've been turning to a different gospel, a wrong gospel. And now Paul is entreating them. He's using a more personal approach and saying, look, I've been pointing out what's wrong, but look, I want you to become as I am. And what am I? What is Paul? Paul is a person that's been set free from the law. And just as I mentioned earlier, Paul's been talking to the Galatians about how they were set free from the law. They were set free from the elementary principles of this world. They were free. But then now they're going back to the law. And so Paul is saying, become as I am. Don't go under the law once again. Be set free from the law. Now, after that, in the following verses, it says, "You know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me." Paul is describing about what happened when he first met the Galatians. Paul is talking about how they had such a good relationship and the Galatians were such good people to him. They treated him even almost like they're treating Jesus Christ. And Paul talks about an ailment that he had. And just because of this verse here in verse 15, it says, "You would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me." People aren't really sure what kind of ailment that Paul had. But because of this verse, people think that maybe Paul was suffering from something that had to do with his eyes. But we're not sure what that is. But the point being, Paul is talking about how the Galatians were so good to him. And he says, what happened to our relationship? What happened to that blessedness? You were sharing with me so much of your love. What happened to our relationship with one another? And then in verse 16, Paul tells what happened. What happened to their relationship? He says, "Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth?" One of the most difficult things to tell someone is that they are wrong. It's so difficult to share with people that they have sinned, that they're doing something against you, or maybe they're doing something against the church. And it's scary to tell someone about what they've done wrong. It's kind of like you're trying to tame a Hulk and you're the teddy bear, right? I thought this picture was perfect because we have children in our, we don't have children's ministry today, so. We don't tell other people that they're wrong. We don't do this often. We don't do this often because if I can be set free by not telling them, then that'll be just so much better. If I can just not share with someone about what they've done wrong, it'll set me free, right? Free from what? Free from an awkward or bad relationship. Free from the possibility of someone looking down on you. Free from the fear of rejection and exclusion. Free from the shame of being seen as an outsider. Right? Isn't that true? Like, you don't want to share with someone that they've done something wrong, especially someone here at church where you just see them once in a while, right? Every week you see them, or maybe twice a week you might see them. But you don't want to share with them that maybe they've offended you because you think that if you don't share with them, then you're going to be free from an awkward relationship with that person, or you're going to be free from feeling like you might be excluded from that group. You want to belong to that group, but if you tell someone that they did something wrong, then you feel like you might be excluded from that group. Right? We want to be free from all these burdens, and that's why we don't share with people the truth. That's why we don't share with people about how they've done something wrong. Today we're talking about Chinese New Year and receiving blessings, but it seems kind of weird, right? Sharing with someone else about what they've done wrong and somehow you're going to be blessed? Well, the reason why that's such a strange idea is because we think we are more blessed when there's just peace between me and the other people around me. But it's a false sense of peace. Paul expresses his love and urgency to tell the Galatians that they need to change. And we see his attitude and the wording that he uses. It's almost like a parent telling their child. A parent might get upset sometimes. A parent might use strong words sometimes. But the parent wants to tell the child that they've done something wrong because the parent cares for their child so much. But Paul, he wouldn't be able to tell the Galatians that they've done something wrong if he was seeking his own freedom. Right? The main idea again today is to be set free, and that to be set free, we need to speak the truth in Christ. And we need to not be seeking our own freedom. Rather, we need to be seeking the freedom of the other person. For you to be set free. Not for me to be set free, but for you to be set free. And so even before talking about how to be set free or how to set other people free, we need to ask, why should we even speak truth and receive? Why should we even speak truth to one another? And the simple answer is this. If we don't seek truth, if we don't seek to speak truth, then we lose an opportunity to speak the gospel to each other. It's only through telling one another about the truth, about their sin, that we're able to actually talk about the gospel with one another. If we don't speak the gospel to one another, if we don't speak to one another the truth, then what happens is that people will continue to live in slavery. People will continue to be slaves to sin, slaves to selfishness, slaves to division, and we will not give glory to God. We'll live for our own glory, our own understanding of what is peace, our own understanding of what's good for me, but not necessarily for one another. And so we need to be speaking the truth to one another, because you will, if you don't speak the truth to someone else, they will continue as a slave. And if this happens enough in our church where we're not speaking the truth to one another, then we will have a church that's enslaved by these things, by sin and selfishness and division in the church. So then how can we be freed? How can we be freed, and how can we help free one another? Remember from our last sermon, Paul talked about how Jesus Christ came and he set us free. Jesus came at the appointed time and he was born under a woman. He was a human being and he was born under the law. And he lived a perfect life under the law. And then he died on the cross for our sins. And then he made us children of God. He made us heirs. And so we have a reward in heaven. But what did it take for Jesus to be able to do that? Well, in Philippians chapter 2, it says this: have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, the way that Jesus set us free is that he himself made himself a servant. He did not think about his own desires. He did not think about setting himself free, but he thought about how to free his people. He thought about you. And that's why he was willing to go to the cross. And so today, if you are a Christian, know that you are already blessed. You are already blessed because Jesus has set you free. You no longer need to fear what others think about you. You no longer need to fear whether you're going to be excluded or not. Because you are a child of God. And you don't have to fear what others will say. Because God is a just God. God will handle the ways that people hurt you. God will intervene in some way. God will handle things. And so you don't need to seek out justice yourself. You don't need to be afraid of what people will say about you. And if you are not a Christian, today you can also be blessed by looking to Jesus, who makes a way for us to have a good and loving relationship with God, who forgives us of our sins, and also gives us courage to think of others and help others. Jesus showed us the way. Jesus showed us the way by making himself a servant and setting us free. And so when we are set free from those burdens, from those fears of what other people might think, when we realize that we are already set free, it actually frees us to stop thinking about ourselves and to begin thinking about others and how to love others and to set them free. It allows us to speak truth into other people's lives and to point them to Jesus Christ that they may be set free. It allows us to not fear what other people will say about me, and it allows us for us not to even rebuke in an angry way, thinking that if I can just speak up, that finally justice will be served. I can be set free from those things, and I can begin to really love the other person. My intention is no longer for my own good. It becomes their good. It's not for me to be set free from evil or fear, but I speak truth into their lives so that they can be set free, for you to be set free, because Jesus already set me free. Because Jesus already set you free, you can now think about how you can set other people free. But as we do this, what should our attitude be? What should our heart be? How should we go about pointing out the truth to one another? You know, when we speak the truth to one another, sometimes, maybe a lot of times, there's a lot of anger that comes with it. There's a lot of pride. I know what's better. I need to tell you how to change. Do you know what you're doing? You know how you're affecting our family? Do you know how you're hurting our church? And there's a lot of anger and a lot of pride that comes with pointing out other people's sins. And when there is a lot of anger, when there is a lot of pride there, it becomes very, very clear that they're pointing out someone's wrong, not to set them free, but they're pointing out someone's wrong to set themselves free in some way. You know, speaking truth is like a needle. You can use the needle to help, like a vaccination, or you can use the needle to hurt someone. And so speaking the truth in Christ is something that we really need to think through. Do we want to do this out of love to help others? And it might pinch for a bit, but in the long run, it is to help. Or do we use the truth to hurt others? When our eyes are on Jesus, when we remember what he did for us, it changes our perspective. When we remember how Jesus enslaved, he made himself a servant, and he set us free, it also changes our perspective. Our motive for pointing out someone's wrong is no longer about justice or being right or because you've been hurt. The motive is love. Paul followed Jesus' example and said, "I became like you." What does he mean by that? He said, I let go of the law and I became like you so that I can share the truth of the gospel with you. I made myself a servant like Jesus Christ did. Even though there are ways that I was hurt, but I came, and even though there are people that were persecuting me, but I came and I let go of the things that were part of my past, those things that I was proud of, and I came to share the truth with you. And then Paul also says in verse 19, "My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." You see, Paul here, he wants to be clear. The reason why he's pointing out the truth to the Galatians, it's not because he's just angry at them. It's not because he feels like all his work that he put into them is just all gone now. And it shows how unsuccessful of a missionary he was. That's not his motivation. His motivation is clear. He says, it's until Christ is formed in you. The hope that we should have in pointing out their wrong, the hope that we should have in pointing out their sin, is that the other person becomes more and more like Jesus Christ. And with this kind of motive, it will cause us to take a patient understanding or even firm stance to point that person to Jesus. Again, it will require, it will cause us to be more patient because we want them to become more and more like Jesus. It will cause us to be more understanding of the other person. When we look to Jesus Christ, it will cause us sometimes to have a more firm stance to speak against the sin, to help the other person realize that, yes, they are doing something wrong. And when you do that, it'll be clear that your motivation is love. Love for Jesus and love for the other person. And you know what that final result will be? When we're able to do this, the final result will be that the church will be more blessed. And the church will become a church that is able to bless. And a church will be a church that promotes blessedness throughout the land. We won't be about just ourselves and how much we can grow as a church, but we'll turn into a church that actually becomes a blessing to this land. So to be set free, let's begin speaking truth to one another with the love of Christ until we see that Christ is formed in all of us together. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your truth and your love. It's not just your love that you give to us, it's also your truth that you give to us. And because of your truth, we're able to see our sin. And when we see our sin, we're able to turn to you, our Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that for us, that you would give us the same heart, a heart of love, a heart of compassion, a desire to see Jesus being made perfect and complete in each of us. And I pray that we would give all glory to you as we do so. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.